come back to the book of Philippians, which we were looking at a wee bit earlier in our time here. And I just want to focus on one verse this morning, and it's a well-known verse. It's verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 10 starts this way. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but had no opportunity to show. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To God, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. The verse that I want to just focus in this morning is that verse 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're living in a world today of catchphrases, cliches, and mission statements. And all of these things to help us to know Jesus and to follow him. And we have these catchphrases, I guess, and these focal points to enable us to remind ourselves what we're actually here for. And who it is who gives us the strength and the encouragement to carry on the work that God has given us to do. And these words in Philippians give us encouragement and give us hope as we look out towards the future. And they're words that I think we can hang on to again and again because they're backed up by truth. I remember when we were on the mission field visiting up at the mission school at Chifu in the Malaysian Highlands. And the kids in the classes all made their favourite text written and had it written on a little plaque thing. Now, our dear son had this particular verse as his text. Now, words are important in what they convey. You're always interested in a baby's first words, and you're trying desperately hard to get the baby to say something. Well, little Amelia told me this morning, she's 3 months old, she speaks fluently, and she told me this morning, you're not bad looking, Granddad. She actually said that. I was quite surprised at the time, but those were the words that she said. Now, sometimes it takes great imagination, of course, to determine what they say. But I'm sure that's what she did say. Now, one of our other granddaughters, who's now 7, used to ring us up on the telephone, and she would gabble away and say all sorts of things, and you might even understand the odd word or two, and all of a sudden, just when you're going to reply, down goes the telephone, and you're slammed down. She says what she wants to say, then hangs up while we're still speaking. We're usually interested also in a person's last words, because those last words are important words, and reflect so very often what is important for that person. And offer their words of love to a spouse or to a friend. And we hang on those words because they have a significance far and away beyond the words themselves. And of course, Christ had those last 7 sayings on the cross. And we often meditate on those around about Easter time. They've been made the subject of music and countless sermons. someone said, and I can't remember who it was, someone said that the last words of the church are, "We never did it that way before." The first seven words of the church could well be our motto for this year: "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And when you think about it, those words are quite a good summary of Paul's life himself. And that could be for us individually as well as a church as we project ourselves forward into this coming year. We, as a church, can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, Philippians, as we've said before, is a very positive book. It's a book of joy, and I think I mentioned one other time that the word joy or rejoice occurs about 16 times in this particular letter. But Paul speaks at length about positive Christian living. "I can do all things through Christ." And he talks here in Philippians about the servant attitude that we have. He talks about pressing towards a goal. In other words, we need to have some direction in life. We need to know where we're going as individuals. We need to know where we're going as a church. We need to have a goal. And he says, "Don't be anxious, but know that you can do all these things through Christ, because Christ is on your side." And I want to just take that verse and dissect it slightly. So let's think firstly about being positive as we look on the future in our church. What does Paul say? He said, "I can do all things." It's an emphatic word in the Greek. It's a powerful word. But so very often we change that word around by adding a letter T to the end of it. And ironically, the addition of the letter T can mean the difference between coping and failure. But it's been amazing, as you think about history, the number of things that have been done by somebody who says it can't be done. For example, in 1840, somebody said that anyone travelling at the speed of 30 miles an hour will definitely suffocate. Well, I've seen some young people around here, whom I won't mention, doing more than 30 miles an hour. And they haven't suffocated. In 1901, it was said, "No possible combination can be united in a practical machine by which men might fly." Now, I've flown in 400-ton jumbos. One of my bucket lists is to get onto one of those big, 380s, and to have a flight. In 1926, it was said the foolish idea of shooting at the moon is basically impossible. Well, Jules Verne wrote a marvellous story about that, and he got to the moon. And John Kennedy at the beginning of the 60s said, "By the end of this decade, we want to land a person on the moon." And they did. In fact, the president at the time, who must have been Nixon at that stage, or was it Johnson, rang me up and he says, "We'll make it on your birthday." And he did on the 20th of July, 1969. Somebody landed on the moon. It's not. 1930, to harness the energy locked up in matter is impossible. Well, can't isn't a word that Edison or the Wright brothers accepted. And I want to suggest to us as a church that if we want to move forward, and if we can't people, we need to wipe that T off that word. Because we can. And it's only a letter, but it makes a world of difference to the way we live. And I hear people saying all the time, "I can't do that. I can't control my temper. I can't deal with my jealousy. I can't stand my job. I can't tithe. I can't stand the preacher. I can't teach Sunday school. I can't pray in public. I can't stop smoking." Yeah, many people can. I can. We can. Many churches stress what they can't do because they don't have the money or the resources. I think it should be rather a focus on what they do have in the way of people and the possibilities and the very power of the Holy Spirit to change lives and to do things in people's lives that in the human element we can't do. I can. And when you look at this verse, there is a pattern about it. I can do what? I can do all things. Now, the reference there to all things means we can do all things that he calls us to do. Now, he's not going to expect us to be doing things that are not according to his will and purpose for our lives. But when God touches our lives and says, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, then you can do it because it's part of his purposes. And as Christians, we can think of things that our church could be involved with. We could be involved with world evangelization, with world missions, with world hunger, with justice for all. And they're all very worthy endeavors, but we're unable to do everything. But we can do what God puts his finger on and what God wants us to focus on as a church. I don't know, but maybe you dream of what God wants to do in this valley. And we know that we're unable to do it all by ourselves, and he doesn't expect us to. That's why we've got other churches and other Christians raised up, maybe with different emphasis, maybe with different giftings. But you see, the ministry is like a giant jigsaw, and each piece fits together and makes a complete picture. I listen to tapes from Willow Creek Church quite often, and I was interested in a tape on one occasion about the caring ministry that they have, their counseling ministry. And they set this ministry up and it ballooned and almost became a church in itself. And then they realized that that particular ministry could be done by Christians in the community. So it now refers people who need that kind of help to Christian experts whom they know and whom they trust in the community. And Heibel said that allow the church to get on with its major task of reaching the unchurched for Christ. In other words, that was a valuable ministry, but it wasn't the main focus of why God had established that particular church. Now, there are things that we could be doing in our community too. Is God calling us to do that? Maybe he is. We need to be a little careful sometimes as to what we attempt for Christ. We can do all things that he wants us to be doing. But do we even know what God wants us to be doing? We shouldn't be involved in areas beyond that particular mandate. And I think that's true for the individual, and it's particularly true for the church. I think in particular it's true for people who've got a gift of compassion and mercy. Because people who've got the gift of compassion and mercy can see all the needs that are there in the community. And you think that you're the only one who's available to meet those needs. And nobody else can do it. Well, that can lead to burnout or breakdown. And too many people who are in people-related ministries are suffering as a result. Moses felt that he was the answer to everybody's needs in Israel at the time, until Jethro, his father-in-law, told him to wise up. Fathers-in-law are very wise and need to be listened to. But he was told to wise up and to concentrate on those big needs. We need to be doing that as well. Looking at our gifts and our abilities that each one has, and I asked for a response for that, and I got six for that, about the particular responsibilities that we have in this parish. Because we have a choice of being what God wants us to be in the parish, or we have the choice of just being a ministry that provides a chaplaincy service to keep on doing as we've always done. In any church in this year that is using the patterns of 40 years ago, where the minister did everything, will not last in today's society. It's not practical and it's not biblical. So Paul says, I can do all things that Christ wants me to be doing, because his grace is sufficient for all of our needs. I, in fact, none of us can. can or should be doing those things that he doesn't want me or doesn't want us to be doing. And if you look at the life of Paul, he concentrated on the one task at a time. Then he moved on, and if you follow that pattern, even Jesus came to one place at one time, to one people, and we can't do it all, but we are called to do something. And the third point that's very important in that verse, I can do all things, that's the pattern, through Christ's presence in my life. Jesus said he came to bring life, and he came to bring that life in its fullness. He came to bring life in its abundance. He gave guidance. He gave strength. He healed the brokenhearted. He brought the good news to the poor. He gave sight to the blind and freed those who were suffering. His presence, his purpose, did all of that. And he became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And he's still with us in the person of his Holy Spirit. And Paul's entire life post-conversion was focused on Jesus. And that should be the experience of all of us. It's through Christ that we have meaning. I like the story about the old French peasant. He used to visit the church in his village at an early hour every morning before going to work in the fields. And on the way home again, he would go back into the church and spend another hour there. And when the man's priest asked him what he did in those hours each day, he said, I just look at Christ, and he looks at me. The presence of Jesus gives strength and life. He gives us power to face all the obstacles and the challenges of life. And we can think back over the past year, I guess, and ask what part Jesus played in our lives. Some have faced major crises, and some have had challenges at different levels to cope with. And this year won't be any different. Christ will be there when we face life's needs and challenges because he is faithful. I can cope with all that he wants me to cope with and face up to in this year because of his presence and his power. He said he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us. The first words of a baby are important milestones. So are the last words of someone dear to us. But the first words to the church could well be, I can do all things through Christ who gives us a mandate, who gives us a motto to step out as a church and as individuals with a great deal of confidence this coming year. Let's pray. Lord God, it's with gratitude that we can acknowledge this morning our need of you day by day. We sometimes fret and fume. We sometimes are very can't-orientated people rather than can-orientated people. And we forget from time to time that strength that you give to us and that encouragement that you give to us to go forth in strength, to live that abundant life that you want us to live. You never wanted us to live under burden, Lord. You want us to be free to serve you, to free in the power of your Holy Spirit to be the people you want us to be the church that you want us to be here in Knapdale and Waikato. We thank you for past blessings, but we know that those past blessings can only be a stimulus for us and a confidence giver for us to go forward, to realize that a new thing is starting in our midst, that you're wanting to break through in a new and a fresh way amongst your people in this valley. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray your blessing on us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our concluding hymn is Soldiers of Christ Arise. Soldiers of Christ Arise.